KI-4DOS.
4DOS, KI-2XQ, go ahead, Harry. 7 sitting here just relaxing, or...
Yeah, it's time to relax, isn't it?
I don't go to sleep till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Then I get up at 6. And it makes for a long night, or...
That makes for a short night if you go stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and get up at 6. That don't give you but 3 hours sleep. And you have to sleep fast.
When I go to sleep, and it might only be once every 3 days, but when I go to sleep, I'm definitely asleep, over.
I die completely. I really do. But, I don't normally stay up that late. We normally, I stay up about 1 o'clock or so, and then I'm going to bed. But I'm up about 7 o'clock, regardless what time I go to bed. Don't mean I don't want to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon now.
Well, yesterday when you came, I had only been up about 10 or 15 minutes, or...
I didn't know that.
It was one of those long sleeps.
Well, that's you have to do that every once in a while to recharge, I guess.
I told Barb one time that when I die, I request that they, you know, lay me on my side in the casket instead of laying me on my back, because I can't breathe very well laying on my back, or.
That way, but after I had my heart attack, you know, they had me on my back, wouldn't let me turn over. Miserable. But at the same time, I learned to on my back. something I didn't really want to do, but I didn't want to have a heart attack either, so you know all about all that stuff.
I don't know the feelings. Well, I guess I could say I do know the feelings of when you have a heart attack, because I had a chemical stress test done, probably 30 years ago when I worked for the phone company. And they take you and they pump chemicals into you intravenously, and they keep doing it until you have the pain of a heart attack, and then they back off, and that tells them how strong your heart is. Ain't that amazing?
Yes, well, I didn't know anything was wrong with mine until I had that problem, and but the doctor got it all taken care of. He said I had 6 cylinders and I was running on all 6. So I can't complain about that at all.
Always good to hear. But anyway, so much for being fixed up. You know.
I want to get that. I'm gonna sit here and try to find that website that I was telling you about earlier. I wasn't looking on it on my computer. I was doing it on my little Kindle book in there. I found it on it, but I'll find it over here on this one, and send that website to you. You said that was 50 cal, right? That I'll find it now. I'll send you the website where you can go over there and see if you want to order some of them things.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I'd like to have it operate one time just to see what it's like. I had a muzzle-loading pistol one time that blew up on me, and golly, I tell you, scared the daylights out of me. But my son reminds me about that every time I start talking to him about my rifle, over.
I had a Thompson Center 50 cal muzzle loader, and I gave it to my youngest son, Stephen, and he loves that thing. got into the black powder pistols, and as a matter of fact, he's got one. It's really nice. I enjoy shooting it. It's a lot of fun. It takes a while to load it, though.
And especially if it's a flintlock or
flintlock. You know, I've seen a couple of those, but never have shot one of those.
They're neat, but you gotta understand when you pull that trigger. It's not like pulling the trigger on a 12-gauge or something like that. It's going to take it a couple seconds before it fires. Over.
It does take a bit of time, we'll put it that way. I have shot a flintlock musket before, and when you put a little powder in the pan and that flint strikes the steel and makes a spark. You got that flash, and then all of a sudden, you think, well, it ain't gonna go off, and then about that time it does.
Exactly what happened to me. I pulled that trigger, the powder went off in the flash pan, and I'm standing there holding the pistol, and I'm thinking, well, something didn't go right here. It didn't fire. And I pulled it back to look at the flash pan, and then it went off. Over.
Sometimes it takes a minute for that all that powder to get the burning good, and then finally go boom. But they're amazing. They really are.
Have you ever seen Jim Bay? B-A-Y. He lives on Six Mile Mountain, and he has the Civil War cannons. Have you ever seen those?
I know, but old Dwight, KD4USA, had a cannon sitting in his living room when I went up to visit him.
I'd give my right arm and my right leg to have a cannon. And that, you know, when I lived in Appomattox, I had bought a metal detector from the county historian, and he told me different places to go to look for different things, and I was always looking for a cannon, but never found one. Over.
Finding one like that, that would be just a... Oh, gosh, I don't know how you would describe that. That would be fantastic if you could find one. But old Dwight, I went up to his house. He lived up there in Tuxedia. He lived on the side of a mountain, and he had a big old balcony out off his living room, like a big deck out there. Had French doors, and he'd roll that cannon out, and there was a rock quarry across the river from where he lived. And he'd shoot that cannon, like on New Year's and stuff like that, you know, special occasions, 4th of July. But he'd slide that cannon outside, and he'd load it, I guess, and then take it outside and then shoot it. I told him, I said, you crazy, man.
I'm a little worried about my windows getting rattled to pieces doing that, or...
I'm the same way. I don't believe I'd want to do that, but he enjoyed it, and of course he was a character. Last time I talked to him, I called him on the phone, and he just happened to be back in the States. And I said, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been over in the Philippines." And I said, "What are you doing over there?" He said, "Hey, I'm not going to tell you."
The guys that got that World War II Japanese gold, over.
But finding some stuff, he was an archaeologist type person. He liked to do that sort of stuff. He found an Indian smokehouse up there on the side of the mountain somewhere.
And they you know, documented it and made it a historical site.
Cool. I didn't know there was one of those around. I've seen plenty of other things, though, over.
I don't doubt that at all. But, you know, we forget about stuff like that and them, you know, being around this area. But they've been in this area forever, it seems like. I guess we've forgotten about it, or we don't pay attention to it anymore, Ken.
Well, you know, I've noticed that down here in the South, they don't really, they say, that's our heritage. We don't want you to dig that up and put it in a museum. That's our heritage. Leave it in the ground. Well, who's going to learn by it being in the ground, you know? But I love going to museums because I love learning about historical things. And that's probably one of the best places to go, over.
Unless you got a museum that's kind of like the one over there at Pickens that you were telling me about.
Yeah, they built a whole building over the top of this boulder out there next to the creek. And, I mean, they actually covered up some of the features of the Indian stuff around there with concrete when they built the building. And they didn't believe me, and I took my video over there and showed them, and they were amazed at what they had covered up with concrete. Over.
Tells me a bit. It really doesn't. They don't pay attention to what they're digging up when they are covering up when they dig up stuff. I was watching a program on TV the other night, and the guy kept saying, you know, we don't know exactly what this is or where it came from, but, you know, they find something else, and then it do the same thing with it. That's well, if you paid any attention, you might know.
2AX2 KI4DOS. Do you know where Fort Prince George is located? It's a lake at the nuclear plant in Oconee County, or?
Yes.
Hurricane's not going to hurt it. It's already underwater, so a flood wouldn't bother it. But I've had people tell me that they've been scuba diving up there in that lake, and there's actually streets and houses along the streets, and you can go up and swim in the front door and swim out the back window. And there's a lot of stuff up there that's underwater, over.
KOSKA2AXQ. I don't doubt that a bit. When they built Lake Russell down below Hartwell, when they built that dam, there's a lot of land down there that I used to deer hunt on that's underwater now. And, of course, they cut down a bunch of trees, but they left a bunch of trees that they did not cut. They're underwater now, but I told some friends of mine that I used to deer hunt with. I said, I'd hate to be boating on that lake or something, and something happened, and I got tangled up in some of them trees. you're liable to get down there and not be able to get back up.
Well, I'm waiting for everybody to keep drinking water so the level of the lake will go down so I can go up there and see these places, over.
Gosh, where was it? Out there in the way out west. One of the lakes, they had a drought, and they said, look what we found, look what the lake is uncovered. Things have been there for hundreds of years.
they backed the water up over and didn't tell nobody about. But they think they found something new, but it's been there the whole time.
Yeah, they have ways of flooding things that nobody knows about. And sooner or later, it all comes out.
We don't really pay attention to what's going to happen when we build a dam. And, of course, a lot of them are needed and some of them wasn't needed. But, we wouldn't have the water supply that we've got now had we not built the dams. So I'm not against them by any stretch of the imagination because I enjoy the water. But, it seems like we would have had a little more, put a little more thought into it and maybe protected some of the stuff that was there. Where they move houses and all kinds of stuff nowadays, it looks like they could have moved some of that stuff that historical relevance and meant something about our history that we have not necessarily forgotten, but that the younger people, the younger generations would have if they had not done that. If they had done it, the younger people would have it now. But as it is, they'll never see it, I don't guess.
Well, at least when our grandchildren grow up, they'll be able to see the two-headed turtles and the three-legged whales. Those are really important things to see, Howard.
it's all what they want us to know about. But that's keeping the government and the normal person separate, and they're keeping us afraid, if nothing else, all right?
That's like, I've been trying different things to get my blood sugar down, and one of the things that I found, and my doctor agreed with me, is cinnamon. Cinnamon will actually lower your blood sugar, like you put it in coffee or something like that, or a cinnamon roll or something like that. Well, I asked Barbara if she had any more cinnamon the other night. She says, oh, no, they took that off the market because they say out in California it causes cancer. Well, tell me something that's in California that does not cause cancer. I mean, too much milk causes cancer. The lead in gasoline causes cancer. And that's what the problem was with the cinnamon. They said there was too much lead. Much lead in the cinnamon, so it all had to be recalled. Boy, that made me mad. So now I'm looking for something else. I'm not sure if cobwebs will lower your blood sugar or not, but I'm thinking about trying it because I got a lot of them, over.
Well, Ken, I told a fellow the other day, a couple of months ago, he was talking about, oh, this causes cancer and that causes cancer, and I said, if you give a lab rat enough of anything, it don't matter what it is. It could be water. You give him too much water, he's going to come up with cancer sooner or later. You've got to do things with a little bit of common sense, I mean, who's going to eat 40 pounds of cinnamon at one sitting or something of that nature? If you figured out the dosage of what they gave the lab mice that came up with cancer, there ain't no way you and I could consume that amount.
There's too much stuff that causes cancer nowadays. And I think what it is probably fresh air causes cancer if you breathe too much of it. Here in Pickens, I think it was like last month, they found this water supply, and they said, you shouldn't be drinking it. Make coffee with it, nothing like this. But yet they haven't said anything about the lead pipes going down Main Street supplying the water over.
Thank you. It sounded like it was a double there, Ken, when you first started talking. Other station, go ahead, you're acknowledged.
Attention to me, K4ROW, the further west you go, the worse it gets.
Well, that's affirmative. That's like they had I got fired from a job one time. It was really cool. I was working down here on 178 by the airport. There's a little factory down there that makes capacitors and stuff. And they used to be up on the hill over here in Pickens on 178, just like before you get to the school. There was a factory up there, and I can't remember the Sagmo, I think is what it was. I think that was the name of the company. But anyway, they had to shut the company down, and it was like a Superfund site. And let me let this reset. They did is they completely burnt the inside of the building because there was PCBs in it. And then they took it apart brick by brick, and they hauled it out to Arizona and buried it in the desert. Now, someday, somebody's going to go out there and build a subdivision right where they buried all those PCBs. Over.
Manager to tap a minute to get in there if he wants to. I wouldn't doubt that a bit, Ken. I used to fish down there at Hartwell a lot. Down there, from Clemson up towards Isaquina Dam and all around into there. And, I fished all the way up to the Kiwi Dam up there. But anyway, they said just not to eat the fish out of Harville because they had PCBs in them. And I just wondered, how many of them fish would I have to eat before it would give me cancer?
We just won for McDonald's, over. But I was at work one day down there by the airport, and I heard these two women talking. And I had only been there probably 6 weeks. And lunchtime, these two women were talking. One of them said something about a lady that I knew that lived here in Pickens, and she died. And they were talking about, boo-hoo, she died, boo-hoo. And she died from cancer that she got from working in that factory. And I just happened to mention that to those two ladies. And I said, now they're working down here by the airport, doing the same thing they did up at the Superfund site on top of the hill over here in Pickens. And after lunch, I went in the building, and a lady from personnel was standing by the time clock, and she says, I see you in my office. I said, okay, and I went in the office. She said, who are you talking with at lunchtime? I said, well, I don't know what you mean. She says, well, the two ladies said you said so-and-so died of cancer from the Sangamo plant. I said, that's right. She did. And let me let this reset. I don't think we need that information spreading around this plant. She said, you can go home. I said, okay. I went out the door laughing, because that was after I retired from the phone company, and that was just peddling money for, going to Ham Fest and stuff like this. So it wasn't like he was taking food out of my mouth, you know. But I feel awful sorry for that family of the lady that died. I really do. But I just thought, you know, need to set the record straight here. You can't say she died in a car accident when she didn't. You know, that's like the kid up in New York City that was shot four times on the street, but he died of COVID. But he shot four times in the chest. So, the COVID. And that's, you know, a blatant lie, or...
KA2AXQ. Ken, I tell you, that wasn't the only one about the COVID deal, but the reason they started listing a bunch of that is, you know, for COVID is because the hospitals are getting money for it. And that's all that was a money thing. As far as I'm concerned, my wife's nephew was killed in a motorcycle accident, and they had it on his death certificate that he died of COVID, and his mom and dad went in there and said, "Hey, this ain't right. This ain't the way he died. You know, you're gonna change this." And they finally changed it, but they didn't want to. You could tell because they didn't get no money for a motorcycle death.
You know, it's really funny the things that happen in life that are all based on money. And if you answer the question wrong, there's no money. And you know, I don't know. Money doesn't mean as much to me as it does to the guy next door. You know, because I've made my money and I've had my money and I've spent my money and I lost my money big time. But you know, life goes on. The money's not the only thing in life. Over. True, you gotta have it. But anyway, so much for that.
I used to work with, he said, dope will get you two times of no money, but better than money will get you two times of no dope. And I told him, I said, you need to leave that stuff alone. He said, I will when they put me under.
I think it was in a YouTube movie. I think it was Danny DeVito that said this. When I die, you can bury me face down so you'll have a place to park your bicycle. Over.
Goodness. Well, you know, what 15 minutes of fame for to do for you, I guess.
I don't know. Well, let's see. What's new in radio? Anything new coming out with, like, the Jet Propulsion Laboratories or anything like this? Any contests coming up? Over. What's going on in November? Over.
Election.
Yep, you're right about that.
Is it?
I like it. The presidential election. Yeah, that's going to be quite something. I haven't been following everything, but there's a couple of people I've been looking at, and I just cannot wait to see the battles in November. Over.
Well, you know, I don't know about you guys. I'm 75 years old now, K4ROW. And I see things a lot different now than I used to. I always had a blue-collar job, and you can imagine which way I voted. And I never apologized for it. And I told people why I did. But, boy, things have changed.
By the way, are you... Didn't you used to live in Florida at one time, over?
I've always been around here. I was born in Woodruff. Moved to Greenville when I was 3. Moved to Anderson when I was 15. Graduated from high school in 66. Went off to school. And finally moved back to Greenville in 70, something like that. Anyway, moved back to Greenville 1980. That's what it was. I've been here since.
You live down the road from Advance Auto Parts, or?
No, in Greenville, I lived at Poinsett Mill Village. In Anderson, I moved out off to Clemson Highway with my folks. I was on foot. And then when I moved out in the country in Anderson, up on Liberty Highway, I rented a house from an old farmer up there. I was happy as a guy could be. And then I started doing the math in 1980 and figured if I moved back to Greenville, I could live for free because I wouldn't be wearing out a car every 3 or 4 years driving to work.
No, I thought you were somebody that I visited one day. They lived out that way. He has the same first name that you do. So, okay. Anyway.
I was 11 in community when I lived in, when I got out on my own in Anderson, up around, on Highway 178, Liberty Highway, close to Brazil Store, and right down the road from there, about a mile or two, and I moved back to Greenville. I have been here ever since. Worked for Southern Railway in about 40 years, and here I is.
A question for you. Pickens Railroad, you know, used to exist, and I don't know if the city bought it or what the deal was, but South Carolina has a law that if there's more than 500 people living in a community, the railroad cannot leave that town. They have to still service that town. Have you ever heard anything like that, or?
I haven't. I don't know anything about Pickens, what they're doing now. I mean, they were there when I was working. And, I don't know if they're still going. I think they're still going. I think they are. They were the last time I heard, but then I couldn't tell you when that was. I'm sorry, but it just kind of, you know how it gets.
Well, the railroad's gone. I mean, you know, they got the engine sitting there where the office building used to be in their shop and stuff like that. And they took up all the railroad tracks. And now it's a walking path or bike path that goes easily near the hospital, right into downtown Pickens. Over.
One time, this K4OW, they came, I believe they came to Anderson and had a connection down there. But when I was down there working, well, I started in 1970, and I actually started at Anderson on the old CNW Railroad, which I had an uncle that worked on that railroad. Never knew it. He got killed before I was about 8 months old. But I made my first day and got my seniority established January 7, 1971 in Anderson. On a job, a night job, ran from Anderson to Seneca. And I've worked that job on and off for a few years, and then they had one that worked from Anderson to Belton. And I'd worked that job, you know, when they called me. I was easy to get to because I lived down there, and if they had an opening, worked out good for them, and me too, I'm not going to lie about it. But that's about all I remember. I remember a few guys, but I had an uncle that worked there, like I said, and got my grandmother's brother, and he got killed working down there, and I never met him, because he died when I was about 8 months old. I'd love to have a picture of him, and I'm still working on that.
Well, my father used to be the executive director for the Pennsylvania Railroad up until about, let me think, when was it? 1967. And in 1967, he did what you might call a lateral transfer or something like that to the P&O Railroad in Gladstone, Virginia. And he retired from there, over.
Well, let's see, I hired in 1970, December the 1st, 70, Southern. And in 1982, the Norfolk Western and Southern merged, or the Norfolk Western bought Southern. I don't know how you want to say it, but it turned into the Norfolk Southern Railway Company. And they were in Norfolk, Virginia, and Southern Railway was in Washington. And now, they're in Atlanta, Georgia.
Runaway train, trying to think of where it was. I think it was in Pennsylvania. And the train lost its brakes or something, and there was a big old thing where it ran into a town going 90 miles an hour, and it tried to take curves in the tracks. They were only for like 30 miles an hour, and they ended up going all over the place.
I can't say that I have. I can't remember the name of the town. It was a derailment up in Pennsylvania. A lot of chemicals in the train, and it made a mess, and it's still there. What I understand, I just saw it on TV a couple weeks ago, and they decided they were going to clean it up by setting it on fire. Well, it's not cleaned up, so according to those people, and our illustrious president hadn't seen it necessary to be up there a whole lot. I think he's been there one time since it happened, and that was just recently. I don't know what they're going to do about that. They got a mess up there.
Okay, 2X2. I know which one you're referring to. I saw that too. But this was a different one. They were chasing a train with a helicopter, trying to put an engineer on the train that, was, that had run away. And I don't remember how it ended up. But anyway, it was a different one. Over.
No, I'm disacquainted with that one. I don't know anything about that one. I'll check in every now and then. I just get where I'm scared to look at some of that stuff, to tell you the truth. When you work around it, and you know what can happen, and it just depends on, well, everything always depends on everybody, but sometimes it can be bad, even when somebody's doing the best they can do. They just got dealt a bad hand.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. You know, sometimes things just get so far out of hand that you can't get them back in hand. And that's when they have major tragedies. Over.
And you get some folks that can use common sense and hold it down to, might not be a no-show, you know, that happens, but it's not as bad as it could be, but that's what you hope happens. But attitude's got a lot to do with it, and that starts at the top.
Did you fall asleep or something, Gary? You're being quiet, over. He fell asleep at the microphone.
My boy, D-O-S-K-4-O-W.
And all right, fellas, I stepped away from the radio for a minute. I went in there to get me something to drink. I've just been sitting here listening till I ran to the refrigerator and got me something cold to drink, but gosh, I don't remember what y'all talking about now. You were talking about the railroad a while ago, and then when I left, and then y'all done changed the subject on me. So where we at?
Reach in the hat, pull out a subject for us, over.
I would pull out a bad one.
There's somebody one night, and the guy says, "Oh, you are a plethora of information." And I'm thinking to myself, "Boy, I hope I'm not that bad. I didn't know what a plethora was, over."
If that comes up, I turn around and ask my wife what it means. She's my know-it-all.
Same here. Oh, Cherokee Indians. That's a good subject. Does anybody know any Cherokee Indians? Yeah. I know one. Met him over in Cherokee, North Carolina. And he's one of these guys that sits out along the street and tells his stories and paints your kids' faces and stuff like this. A super nice guy. And he actually lives in a teepee in a little village over there in Cherokee, North Carolina. And he made a couple knives for my son. He makes knives and sells them and stuff, and he made a couple of them for Tom. Gave them to him for Christmas, over. His name is Tony Walking Stick, like a cane, walking stick. And if you get on YouTube, you can see he was, I think he was in Arizona, at like a, what do they call him, a powwow or whatever. But he's out there, and that's the only video I've seen of him, just that one video, over.
He's out there. I've been up to Cherokee a few times, but I don't know anybody up there?
There's a place up there called the Christmas House. And, you know, it's all, you walk in and it's all Christmas stuff. You know, like Santa Claus suits and purple Christmas trees and all kinds of weird stuff. But he's got a little display across the street where he sits and tells people stories about Indian history and stuff. If you're ever up that way, stop and see him. He's really, really full of information. In fact, he goes to the Waffle House in Cherokee every night about 7 o'clock for supper. And you can't miss him. He's dressed up in his Indian stuff. And he's a super nice guy. Fun to talk with, over.
Fun to talk to, no doubt about it. I don't know about living in a teepee, though. Of course, I don't guess it's any worse than living in some of the other places I've lived. But anyway, again, I found that thing. I'll send it to you. It's a Federal Fire Stick Nitro Fire Muzzleloader cartridges. They got 120 or 120 grain.
Price on them, over.
Right now, $25.99. It don't say how many's in the pack, though. Looks like there's 2, 4, 6, 8, about 10 of them in a pack.
Good, very good. They'd be fun even just for 4th of July. I've got the slugs and the primers. I just need the cartridge.
Send you a link to this, and that way you can look at it.
Appreciate that very much. Now all I need to do is find somebody that knows how to fix a leaky roof, over.
I stuck on my mailbox the other day. There's Mexicans around here said they fix them, but I don't know that I trust them or not.
The roof put on about 5 years ago, and for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, the vent pipe that goes up through the roof from the bathroom sprung a leak last time it rained. And, you know, it's weird about leaky roofs because when a roof is leaking, you can't fix it. And if it's not raining, it don't need fixing. Over.
That's like an intermittent problem on a ham radio.
That's for sure.
Told me the time he liked to work on roof leaks is when it was raining.
Thought about that because how do you know where it's leaking from if it ain't raining, over?
I'm about to argue with him, I tell you that.
Well, it's a very small leak because you can stand there and watch it and you may only get like 3 drops in a minute, and so, you know, you can fall asleep standing there waiting for the next drop of rain to come through, but it's just a simple fact that sooner or later, those 3 drops are going to add up, and something's going to be, boards are going to be rotting over.
I know exactly what you're saying. I got 3 places that I got a leak. Is after a re-roof, and of course, normally it's gonna be at night, but you gotta get them at the right time. I don't expect somebody to come out here at night and do that.
Well, I found that if you take a 2-inch hole saw and you watch where those drops of water are hitting the floor, and you drill a 2-inch hole in the floor, that water will just go straight through and down underneath the house. You don't have to worry about it. A little bit of side humor there, over.
I just had I just had a plumber out here Monday, and it wasn't funny at all. Those guys will hurt you.
Oh, I had a tree out in my backyard. It was 18 feet in diameter at the base, and I had it cut down. Well, they cut down, it was probably the tree trunk about 30 feet tall, and they cut it all in one piece, and it fell, and when it did, this, where a limb used to be, it were stuck out, came down and hit my sewer pipe. I mean, it hit dead center in that sewer pipe. It busted that thing in half, and it's still a mess out there. Oh, it's fixed, but it needs to be fixed properly. The city told me I got to put it in a straight line. It goes in like a Z shape out to the sewer, towards the sewer on the next street. And the city told me, oh, you're responsible for making that pipe be straight out of your house back to that sewer. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I didn't put it there. Anyway, so much for that.
What would you think about 3 or 4 feet of aluminum, copper tubing in a joint? And you got a leak in that piece of pipe, and they take it out and they replace it with some plastic stuff, and they're there 2 hours, counting the time they leave to go get the parts to fix your problem with. And it's $750.
That was Roto-Rooter, wasn't it?
It wasn't Roto. And I'm not going to call the name, but that was, I'd already had a builder tell me that they were the ones that hurt you. And I was looking at a house he was building, and I asked him, I said, well, how much you charge me to put me an extra outlet in the garage, on a separate breaker? And he said, about $100, $150. And I caught the electrician out there working on the house and asked him. He told me the same thing. He said, but it ain't those guys that ain't going to hurt you. It's the plumbers going to hurt you. And that was back in the 80s. And this was this week. And it ain't changed.
Well, I can remember, 50 years ago. About 50 years. No, it was more than 50 years. Probably 60 years ago. My father was having an addition built on the back of our house, a big family room. And he hired this carpenter to come and do it. And it was a guy that my father knew. And the guy would come over, he'd come over like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning and start measuring things out and cutting things and stuff like this. And my dad would get out, get a cup of coffee, and go out and sit down and talk with a guy. And the guy gave my dad a bill one day, and boy, it was that was a huge bill for back then.
And a big bill for right now.
And he says, well, because every morning you get me out there and you sit down and talk with me for a couple hours. And you're paying me for those hours. Yeah, right. Over.
Well, and then he mentioned you might want to have to redo your whole house, your plumbing. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, we'll have to get some bids on that.
Well, send him over to my house. I got a lot of work he can do for me. And I ain't going to pay him nothing. I can trade them some corn dogs or hot dogs or corn on the cob or something. Over.
I don't think you're gonna get hooked up with him.